May I have your attention, please? It's about snow, everyone. My name is Son of Israel, Shamil Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonia Shalebo Odea Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. I now present to you one of the sons of Israel Abel, Yedidiah Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Show Servitude to Everyone That You Come in Contact With. And the word servant in the Webster's Dictionary, the Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, it means one that serves others. And Yeshua was a servant. He served others. He served the disciples, and he served everyone that he came in contact with. And Yeshua was a servant, and I have scriptural proof to back it up. In Yochanan 13, 4 through 5, if you can turn to that, it's on page 830. And it reads, he got up from supper and laid aside his tallit. Then he took a towel and tied it around himself. After that, he poured water into the basin, then began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel that he had tied around himself. So you can see that Yeshua was a servant, and Yeshua, he followed the example of Yahweh, and Yeshua wants us to follow his example, and that's why Pastor is teaching us the example of Yeshua. So this feast, if everyone can try to show servitude to everyone that they come in contact with, because that's what Yahweh is looking for. And I have a story. It's called A Young Man Cleaning. I don't know if I ever told you about back when I was in college. I was so thankful because they had given me the job of keeping the kitchen and the bathrooms clean. After evening meals, when everybody else was gone, I had free access to the refrigerator, which I made use of as I cleaned up. I made the floor shine in the kitchen. I was complimented several times by the teachers, and this just thrilled me to no end. I thought then I had part in the work of Yahweh. So you see that Pastor, he is following the example of Yeshua, which Yeshua got from Yahweh. I cleaned those bathrooms to perfection. I took deodorant and scrubbed the commodes. I scrubbed around the commodes on the floors. When I got through, they were shining. People noticed that they were shining. I take great joy in doing everything Yahweh allows me to do. So, Pastor is our example in these last days. And if he takes great joy in everything that Yahweh allows him to do, we should take great joy in everything Yahweh allows us to do. So remember, if someone comes to you or if you're walking past someone, try to be a service to them. Try not to be a stumbling block before them. So is Pastor following the example of Yeshua in these last days? If you can turn to Philippians 2, 5 through 7, it's on page 922. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Yeshua Messiah, who being in the form of Yahweh, did not think it was something to be seized upon, to be equal with Yahweh, but abased himself, taking the form of a servant, made like man being born." So it says, make yourself, be a servant to everyone that you come in contact with. Be a servant in Yahweh's house. And the feast is a great opportunity to show servitude to each other. Whether it's serving food, whether it's teaching classes, the feast is a great opportunity to be a servant, and we can't miss this opportunity. And I have something from the Yisroel Kinses. It's the sixth book of Yisroel, chapter 10, verse 101. And it says, "Do you see what the disciples learned from Yahshua? Then they were trying to teach others the same thing. This is what you need to learn. This is what you need to learn from now on. By the servant instead of waiting to be served. Be a servant instead of waiting to be served. Be the servant help in service. One remaining hungry, another is drunk. Yes, I've seen some of that." So pastor is telling us to be a servant. Yahweh is a servant. He serves his creation. Okay, so Yahshua, he follows the example of Yahweh. Pastor follows the example of Yahshua and Yahweh. So Yahshua follows the example of Yahweh by being a servant. Yahweh is the creator and Heavenly Father serves. Yahweh as the creator, the Heavenly Father, serves his creation continuously. Without his service to us, we will not even exist. Okay, so if we all can remember that, Yahweh is a servant, Yahshua is a servant, and Pastor is a servant too, and we should be following the example and the footsteps of all three of them. And with that, I'd like to turn it over.
The son of Yisrael, Deacon Shlomo.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to be speaking about how to keep the Sabbath day holy. All right, because there's many doctrines out there, there's many traditions, and so today I'm going to be talking about how to keep the Sabbath day holy. If you turn to Exodus 20, verse 8-11, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh your Heavenly Father. In it you shall do no work, you nor your wife, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who dwells within your gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Yahweh made the Sabbath day holy." Alright, so this is telling us what we should do. Now Constantine tried to change the Sabbath to Sunday, or he changed the Sabbath to Sunday, but not for Yahweh's people. Alright, Yahweh's people still keep the Sabbath on Saturday, or the seventh day of the week. From the Bible readings from the home, this person is asking someone in a church, someone of high degree in the church, he's asking them questions and they're answering him. And he says, "What power has claimed authority to change God's law?" And the answer is the papacy. It says, "The Pope is of so great authority and power that he can modify, explain, or interpret even divine laws." The Pope can modify divine law, since his power is not of man, but of God. All right, so he's saying that the Pope has this authority to change the law, but the Pope doesn't have authority to change the law. If you turn over to 1 Kefa, it says, who truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. No, that's the wrong scripture. 2 Kefa. Sorry about that. 2 Kefa 1:20 through 21. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. So he's saying that the Pope can modify, explain, and interpret, but right here it says that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. But for the prophecy did not come in former times, but by the will of man, but holy men of Yahweh spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Alright? And then in verse 19, it says, we also have the prophetic word, made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Alright, so we have the prophetic word. Alright? Praise Yahweh. Yes, we have the prophetic word available to us, so we need to take these things and read them and study them and put them in our hearts, all right? So, it says, what part of the law of God has the papacy thought to change? The fourth commandment. It says, the Roman Catholic Church reversed the fourth commandment by doing away with the Sabbath of God's Word and instituting Sunday as a holiday. Does the papacy acknowledge changing the Sabbath? It does. How prove you that the church hath power to command feasts and holy days? It says, by the very act of changing the Sabbath into Sunday, which Protestants allow of, and therefore they fondly contradict themselves by keeping Sunday strictly and breaking most other feasts commanded by the same church. It says, have you any other way of proving that the church has power to institute festivals of precept? Had she not such power, she could not have done that in which all modern religionists agree with her. She could not have substituted the observance of Sunday, the first day of the week, for the observance of Saturday, the seventh day of the week, a change for which there was no scriptural authority. Alright, so what they're saying here is that they changed the Sabbath, and how they can prove they have authority is because no one else went against them. Alright, even the Protestants allowed them to change the Sabbath to Sunday. Alright, and this was, it says, the earliest recognition of the observance of Sunday was as a legal duty is a constitution of Constantine in 321 AD, or AY, enacting that all courts of justice, inhabitants of towns and workshops, were to be at rest on Sunday. Alright, so you can see how they try to change Yahweh's law, or the written law, to their own traditions, or they try to change it to worship gods. Alright, so what did Yahshua and his disciples do on the Sabbath? If you turn to Matthew 12, it's on page 738. Matthew 12, verse 9 through 14. It says, and going from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? So that they might have a reason to accuse him. But he asked them, what man is there among you having one sheep, and if it falls into the pit on the Sabbath day, would not lay hands on it and pull it out? And how much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do righteousness on the Sabbath. And then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as sound as his other one. Then the Pharisees went out and held a consultation against him, how they might destroy him. All right, so they try to accuse him for doing something that was lawful to do on the Sabbath. All right, it's lawful to heal people on the Sabbath. If you go to Yochanan Mark 1, verse 21 through 22, it says, then they went into the Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue and began to teach. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. All right, so they were astonished at Yeshua's teachings because he taught them with one who had authority. All right, because he knew the scriptures. Remember, it was in his heart. So when Satan wanted to tempt him, he knew the scriptures. All right. Also, if you turn to Acts 13, it's on page 855, verse 42. It says, "And as they went out of the synagogue of the, and as they went out of the synagogue of the Yaraim, the people earnestly begged that these things might be told to them further the next Sabbath day." Verse 44, "And the next Sabbath day, almost the whole city came together to hear the words of Yahweh, the law and the prophets." All right, so they wanted to hear these things on the Sabbath day. And also, if you turn to Yochanan 5, well, you don't have to turn there. But in Yochanan 5, 1 through 16, there was another instance of Yeshua healing on the Sabbath day. All right, and all these things that they did on the Sabbath, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians tried to come against Yeshua for. All right, and one thing that they tried to come against him, or another thing, is going through the grain fields and eating the wheat on the Sabbath. If you turn to Matthew 12, verse 1 through 8, it says, At that time, Yeshua went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pull ears of grain and eat them. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Behold, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David and those who were with him did when they were hungry? How he and those with him went into the house of Yahweh and ate showbread, which was not lawful for them to eat, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the house of Yahweh profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say to you that a greater house of Yahweh than this temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. So the Son of Man is also a teacher of the Sabbath day." All right, so this eating wheat is just like picking a fruit off of the tree and eating it. All right, and that's not unlawful. It's lawful to eat food on the Sabbath day. All right, but the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, and the Herodians, they were running their own businesses on the Sabbath. All right, and you can see that in Yochanan 2, verse 13, it says, "Now Yahweh's Passover was near, so Yeshua went up to Jerusalem and found those who sold oxen, sheep, and turtle doves, along with others sitting and changing money in the sacred precincts of the house of Yahweh." It says, "And when He had made a whip of small cords. He drove them all out of the sacred precincts of the house of Yahweh with the sheep and oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. All right, so they were selling all these things, as Pastor brought out. They were selling sticks. They were selling all these things to make money. All right, they were doing this in the house of Yahweh. And that was unlawful, or that's unlawful to do on the Sabbath. Remember in Isaiah 58, you can't do your own business on the Sabbath. If you turn to Exodus 16, we have Sunday through Friday, or first day through sixth day, to be doing our own things on, or our own businesses and stuff. But on the Sabbath day, that the Sabbath is for Yahweh. All right, it's not for us. If you turn to Exodus 16:23, it says, "Then he said to them, 'This is what Yahweh has commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy day to Yahweh. So bake what you will need to bake today, and boil what you will boil, and save what is left over, and keep it until morning.'" All right, so he was telling them that they needed to cook what they needed to cook on Friday or on sixth day, so that when the Sabbath came, they would have food. All right, but for example, the cafeteria, they cook their food on Friday or on sixth day, so that they would have food on the Sabbath day for everyone to eat. Now, if it wasn't possible, like if there was a shortage of food or something, the cafeteria could make food on the Sabbath for Yahweh's people. All right, but you can't be doing these things for yourself. You can't be cooking food and things for yourself. So the Sabbath is for Yahweh's work. If you turn to Hebrews 4, Hebrews 4, verse 8 through 11, it says, "Now Yahshua caused them to rest in obedience to the law spoken of by Yahweh in a day previously. Therefore there remains the keeping of the Sabbath to the people of Yahweh. For he who has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works as Yahweh did from his. Therefore let us be zealous to enter into that rest, so that no one may fall after the same example of unbelief." All right, so the Pharisees had their own traditions. As you can see in Matthew 15, verse 1 through 8, they had their own traditions, and they still do today. Like, for example, the Muslims, they have to go to Mecca at least one time in their life. All right, and there's a bunch of other traditions that they keep. But Yahshua gave them this rest, or taught them about the Sabbath from the written law, according to the written law. If you turn to Jacob 1 for my last scripture, Jacob 1, verse 21, it says, "Therefore put away all filthiness and the superabundance of wickedness, And receive with meekness, humility, the written law, which is able to save your souls." All right, right here is the written law. This is the written law. All right, the traditions and all this stuff, it won't get you in the kingdom of Yahweh. Right here is the written law. Remember Isaiah 34:16. Search out the book of Yahweh. All right, that's where you're going to get in the kingdom, from the written law. And with that, if everyone will please stand. I'd like to turn it over to Deacon David Knight and Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. What an awesome, glorious day it is here in the house of Yahweh today. Wow. Well, we are sitting in prophecy, today. And this is absolutely the greatest place you could ever want to be. and it's at the greatest time ever, the greatest time period ever on the face of the earth. Well, last 6 day evening, myself and a great Kahan were taking some pictures of clouds and rainbows, and I started looking at one of the pictures that we had taken, and usually it takes a little while for me to see what's in there, and this one just jumped out at me. And so I want to see if anybody else can see this too. I'm going to go here to the overhead. I just want you to look at that for a moment. Okay, just look at that for just a minute. So here we go, and I'm going to try to make it a little bit clearer, but what do you see? Does anyone see anything in there? It's a little fuzzy, but you can see some things going on here and some things going on over here, and you see the rainbow. I don't know if you can see it out there on the monitor, but there's rainbow everywhere. Everywhere on here, there's rainbow, all the way from here to here. And in fact, the south gate at the house of Yahweh is right between these two, the farthest one and this one right here. Okay, well, let's try to make it a little bit clearer for you. Can you play the first part of the disc? Just keep watching. You're going to see a transformation take place. Now, look at it again as it fades out there, and I think you'll see it. It's pretty plain once you've been shown. All right, so this picture was taken on 6-3 at 8:17 p.m. And the word 63 in Strong's is word 58, and it actually means able, a meadow. How about this? To grow green, all right? And the people in the picture, I don't know if you saw that over to the left-hand side. Let me just pull this one back up again and see if we can show you, if I can get there. That doesn't seem like I can here. Hold on. Here we go. The people on the left-hand side, it's very hard to see right up here. There's faces and a bunch of faces, like coming towards the rainbow, okay? You may see it better later. But the people in this picture, if you look at 8:17 p.m., it means, you know, guilty, a trespass offering. Like Isaiah 2:2, let's go there real quick on page 531. And we're going to be moving pretty fast. We've got a lot to cover. Some of it you'll just have to, I'll mention it and we'll take it for your notes. But on page 531, Isaiah 2:2, it will come to pass in the last days that the mountain promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations and will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it. And many people will go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the father of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law will depart from Zion, and the word of Yahweh will depart from Jerusalem. And he will judge among the nations and will rebuke many people, and they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore. So that it's going to be done away with, all the war. The people are going to learn the way of Yahweh, just like also in Micaiah 4:1-3. And then in Zechariah 6:13, we're not going to go there, but write that down. Zechariah 6:13, there is a mention in the 13th book of Israel, chapter 13, and it's verse 86. So the 13th book, chapter 13, verse 86, and it's talking about ruling. It's talking about ruling, and rule is to teach and guide. That's what it says, is that rule is to teach and guide. In fact, let me just read this to you real quick. 6:13, it says, yes, he will build the house of Yahweh, He will bear glory and will sit and rule on his throne. And he will be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace will be between them both. Of course, we know that's between Pastor Israel Hawkins and Yahshua Messiah. The council of peace, the peaceful solution, working together in unity. And that ruling is teaching and guiding. Okay, well, Pastor's been teaching and guiding us for a very long time, and we are also learning to teach and guide. And the people coming, they're going to be taught and guided by Israel Hawkins also, and they're going to learn to stop all wars, right? All right, now, also 8:17, it goes to word 8:16. Let's see if I've got it right here. And it also means, you know, to offend, to be guilty, to trespass, to do wrong, to be held guilty, to declare guilty, like someone declaring themselves to be guilty, for instance. And just like these people that are coming must acknowledge their doing wrong, their guilt, the same thing that we did when we came to the house of Yahweh, just like in Leviticus 5, 4 through 5. That's on page 84, if you want to go there real quick, page 84. Leviticus 5, 4 through 5, or if a person vows an oath, speaking thoughtlessly by his mouth to do evil or to do well, whatever that man may pronounce by an oath, even though he is unaware of it, when he learns, he will be guilty. When anyone is guilty of any of these matters, he shall confess he has sinned in that thing. So, also in Deuteronomy 12, 5, so they become aware of this sin, that they've sinned, and from the teaching. And in Leviticus 5, 4 through 5, I mean Deuteronomy 12, 5, it says, seek the place, right? Seek the place, the house of Yahweh, and go there. Let's read it, page 157. And that's Deuteronomy 12, 5. But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of all your tribes to establish his name. And there you must go. Just like we did, they're going to do the same thing. And what are they going to do when they get here? Deuteronomy 17, 9 through 13. They're going to go to the priest and they're going to do what the priest says to do. And so then, what have we learned in Acts? In Acts 3:19, repent, be converted. They're going to repent of their sins. They're going to be converted to Yahweh's way, and they're going to do exactly like we did, okay? So when they see that how they've been lied to all this time, they're going to come running to the house of Yahweh, just like we did also. Praise Yahweh. So remember this is also the time, though, 2016. The year that we're in, 2016, and it's from, well, 2015 is from 2016 in Strong's, and it means to turn, to overthrow, to change, to transform, to change oneself, to be reversed. And remember Isaiah 59, 3 through 4, let's go there, page 567. Isaiah 59, 3 through 4, says, Isaiah 59, let's go 1 through 4. Behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your own iniquities have separated you from your father, and your own sins have caused him to hide his face from you, so he will not listen. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perverseness. And then it says, no one calls for justice, nor does any plead the truth. They trust in vanity and confusion and scriptural untruths. They conceive mischief and trouble and give birth to evil. So the people did this, and now they're going to transform to Yahweh's way, which is look right up above there. This is what they're going to do. Right up above there in 58:13. If you turn away your foot from breaking the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure, your business, your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of Yahweh honorable, and will honor him for not doing your own ways, or by not doing your own ways, for not finding your own pleasure, nor engaging in idle conversation. Let's remember that. Then you will find your joy in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken this. So they're going to be coming and they're going to be learning how to keep the Sabbath. They're going to learn about Yahweh. They're going to learn about Yahshua. They're going to learn about the laws and how to keep the laws. Then those arms you saw in that picture, that is 2232 from 220 in Strong's, and it means producing seed, the fruit that's bearing seed. And this tree right here, the house of Yahweh, is producing righteous fruit. And that fruit is bearing seed. And the seed's seed, it just keeps on going. We're learning what to teach. Remember the signs over here? We're learning what to teach and teaching what we learn, and it will continue. Just a quick reminder here about why and how people are hearing of this. It was prophesied that they would. Turn to Matithya 24:14 on page 752. Matithya 24:14 on page 750. I'll give you the right page. I guess it is 752. Okay. Bear with me here. Told you we'd be moving a little bit fast. 24:14. And it says, this message of the kingdom will be preached to all the world by the one who bears witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And it's this message of the kingdom preached to all the world by Israel Hawkins at Abel, who bears witness to all the nations. All the nations are being taught right now. Isaiah 44:8. Remember what Isaiah 44:8 says. Write this down. It says, you are my witnesses. You know, people are searching and they're finding out that this work was prophesied about. Yochanan 5:36. Let's just look at that real quick. Let's see, Yochanan 5:36. On page 820. On page 820, Yochanan 5:36, it says, but I have testimony even greater than that of Yochanan. The works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, they testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. Israel Hawkins is the one sent, and these are the proofs that he is the one sent. All you have to do is go back and look, and you'll see the prophecies. Revelation 11:4. Revelations. Let's go to Revelations real quick. These are things we always need to be reminded of. Well, 3 says, I will give to my two witnesses to perform their prophetic offices, and they will foretell events about the 3.5 years, those cast about in darkness. And remember, these are the two olive trees, the two lamps of the 7-lamp lampstand, ministering for the Father in the earth. And then, of course, Zechariah 5 says the same thing. It follows right along with that. So, and then Amos 3:7 on page 696, real quick. Amos 3:7, Amosha 3:7 on page 696. Okay. And it says, most assuredly, Father Yahweh will have no work other than the work that he has prophesied in advance by his servants, the prophets. So they're being taught these things. They're coming to receive the promise. They're coming to receive the covenant. Turn to Zechariah. Let's see. Let me try to find it real quick. Zechariah 8. Turn to Zechariah 8. And it's 8 through 10 on page 720. Zechariah 8. 8 through 10 on page 720. I hope you guys are writing fast here. And I will bring them, and they will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be their father in faithfulness and righteousness. This is what Yahweh of hosts says. Let your hands be strong who hear these hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of Yahweh of hosts was laid, that the temple might be rebuilt. For before these days there was no reward, no salvation from Yahweh before these days, before these last days for man, because the mouths of the ones to preach the reward, the salvation, were silent. Neither was there any peace because of the enemy turned every man against his neighbor. Remember, today is the day of salvation. Salvation is being offered in the house of Yahweh today. So then let's look at Well, let me just tell you. Remember Matthew 24:37. It says, just as in the days of Noah, so will be these days. It'll be the same way, just as in the days of Noah. Now, let's start that disc back up and take a look at that rainbow again, okay? Let's start it up. Take a look at that rainbow and watch what occurs. You can see it now, right? Okay. Hey, you can let that play for just a minute. It'll go off automatically. So here's something to remember. Just as in the days of Noah, and you see that, let's turn to Genesis 9, 8 through 17 on page 7. It'll be up for just a minute yet. Page 7. Page 7. And y'all have read this scripture over and over again, but we're going to read it again. 9, chapter 9, 8 through 17. Then Yahweh spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle." Let's skip on down for a minute. Verse 11, "Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." Of course, we got to remember what waters in the earth are. Verse 12, "And Yahweh said, this shall be a sign," get this, "this shall be a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in that cloud. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I," that's verse 16, well, verse 15, "and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh." Verse 16, "The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between me and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And Yahweh said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that lives upon the earth." Yisrael Hawkins is the covenant. Remember the people in the picture? They're coming for the covenant. They're coming for the promise. This wasn't about Noah. It was about Yisrael Hawkins. It was about this last day's work. It's about what's taking place now that was planned from the very beginning. Remember, just like in Genesis 49, it wasn't about Jacob's sons. Who was it about? It was about the branch. It was about the donkeys. It was about this last day's work that's taking place right now. Turn to Isaiah 49, 6 through 8, please. Isaiah 49, 6 through 8. I'll try to get you a page number. 561. Isaiah 49, 6 through 8. I'm running out of time here. He said, "It's not enough that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the protected of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles so that you may be my salvation to the ends of the earth." And you keep on reading and you go down to verse 8 and it says, "This is what Yahweh says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in a day of salvation I've helped you." That's right now. That's this day. "And I will give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. So I will protect you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth." Again, he had this plan. Yahweh had it planned from the beginning, this work that's taking place right now. "And those without us would not be made perfect in these last days." Remember, the first will be last and the last will be first. All right, we're going to see that one more time too, by the way. But this covenant is pastor, and pastor is that rainbow. Do you wonder why we keep seeing pastor's face in all these rainbows? And did you notice in that one, you'll see it again here in just a minute, did you notice in that one that you could see there was rainbow all around? There was a rainbow over here, a real bright rainbow, and then it just continued on, and then it was like he was clothed in a rainbow. There it was, all around where he was at. And that's why, you know, that's why Satan attacked, and that's why Satan associated the rainbow with queers. Because she hates the house of Yahweh. She hates Israel Hawkins. She hates you. She hates this work right now. Here's a little bit more. Can we bring that disc back up to the 42-second mark and start from there again? Or you could just do it from the beginning. Moreover, this is Yechizkia 37. Moreover, I will renew the covenant of peace with them, and it will be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Yechizkia 34:25. And I will renew with them the covenant of peace, and will bring an end to the evil, beastly government system in the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Okay, you see that on there? Go ahead and let it play. Let's let it play all the way through, and I'll finish up here. So salvation is here. The great secrets of Yahweh have been revealed, and all of this is being shown to us in these last days. And it's being shown to us, brothers and sisters, so that we can straighten up, we can get it right, and we can stick with it. You are in the right place. Remember that you're in the right place. And let's do this. All being in one accord. And take another look at that as it plays. There is the rainbow. There is the covenant right there. This is what the people are coming for. And it was promised all throughout history. Ever since the beginning. Before it was given to Noah. It was planned ever since before the earth began. There it is right there. And if you'll all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to turn the podium over to the great Kahan Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Now, of course, this covenant the great deacon's talking about, these people, as Micaiah and Isaiah say, they're going to come fleeing to this house of Yahweh to make this agreement, this covenant, and it's because this world is falling apart, as we're told in Revelation 18. Now, pay close attention when we show the news today, because we're going to go over and we're going to see how they're showing that everyone's vying for position. Speaking of countries, how many times have you heard Pastor talk about these countries are vying for a position, whether it be Russia, China, the United States, Iran, you throw France and Italy into the mix. Everyone's vying for a position, as well as the UN, NATO, and so forth. All of these doing so. But watch what's said about how this propaganda, this running of the news media and trying to suppress what's really going on, is getting out of the hands of the news media. They can't control it anymore. It's falling apart just in front of them. They can't do anything but start acknowledging and denying now. So now, instead of denying, they're lying about it and then still denying. And you'll see that also. But of course, they'll tell you everything is okay. And make sure to pay attention to the clip as the man is telling you everything is okay. It's very realistic, even though it was a clip from a movie. It's probably more realistic than you think. In fact, it is more realistic than you think. The United States right now is also trying to get Russia to quit bombing who they're paying. Remember these mercenaries that Putin spoke about? They work for whoever pays them the most. Well, the United States is trying to get Russia to quit bombing them. Now, of course, the plans are falling apart. Russia's plans are falling apart. They pulled their troops out. They're now sending them back in. Japan, who's considered an ally of the United States, the citizens of Japan are saying, get your military bases out of our country. Now, why? It's because the soldiers, and listen carefully, they're raping the men, the women, and the babies. That's why they want them out. Where do you think that came from? Where did that teaching start? And then, of course, we have France. Look to France. It's falling apart in every form and fashion. Economically, it's falling apart. People are protesting. They don't like the way things are going. They're having floods over there. But, of course, the president says it's still okay. Don't worry about it. We're doing okay. Just keep spending money. That's what we need. And, of course, NATO, if you remember, they don't want a peaceful solution. And we've played that before, but listen to it again, because they don't. This world does not want a peaceful solution. They want war. And, of course, we also pay close attention to Senator Byrd. Of course, he's not a senator anymore, but they were celebrating the anniversary of the failure of the Iraqi war. And, of course, it is a failure. War is always a failure. But listen to what he says about how this war was a choice. And, of course, it was made with false information. No real solutions were put into action. It was a choice. President Obama doesn't want to send boots on the ground, but guess what? Boots are going on the ground. That's what an administration is doing. And then, at the end of it, pay attention to what President Obama says. Everyone in the House of Yahweh should listen to what's being said. Consider that we're filling our lamps with oil at this time, and we're going to need to use those teachings to shine to this dying world very, very soon. It's falling apart faster than you can keep track of it. So at this time, if we could go ahead and play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Hey, we got a crowd here today. Praise Yahweh. Okay, get ready now. Here we go. Okay, you may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Barack Obama said, took the words out of my mouth, we got to do more. And we're the ones that's got the solution for them. I noticed some people coming in late. You really need that information that we brought at first. The great deacon David brought in on the rainbow. David Knight and Hawkins. You really need that. And then that's not all. We got more coming tomorrow. If you'd get here on time and really pay attention to this, you'll see. Also, we got the great Kohan David Heimerman Hawkins that'll be doing a sermon after the feast, sometime after the feast, on this very thing. But but you need it all, because it's the fact is, from the beginning of Genesis till now, it's all dealing with us. We are the work spoken of that will bring peace to the earth. Praise Yahweh. You can turn over to chapter 6 of Revelations while you're not doing anything. The news media is grabbing up what Yisrael Hawkins says, great secrets of the Bible are now being revealed, and exposes Satan, the devil, and exposes what Satan, the devil, never wanted anyone to know. And now that started this morning when they first called me. This was at, I don't have the time here, but I would say it had to be about 7 a.m. or something like that, and they called me and told me this was 68,957 newspapers already running this. About an hour later, they called me again, and it was up to 91,619. So you can see how fast that is climbing. They're grabbing up these articles rapidly. The one from last week is up to 185,000. That's the strong words for Trump and other presidential candidates in new publication that Yisrael Hawkins posted. That's up to 218,000 now. News media is running it. One after that, Yisrael Hawkins has... that's the Trump. Yeah. Let's see. What is it? Well, something like that. Here's the one that made me cry and joyful too. This is a refugee camp that I'm about to show you. A group of refugees. And Can you read that? A PW and prophetic word in one hand and a book of Israel in the other. And somehow they took these pictures and got them to someone with a computer and posted them on our website. That one is written in their language, I'm sure. And this one shows the big tent that many of them are holding services in, a side view of it. And this one says, gives the person that posted it on our Facebook and Twitter, I believe, if a family's, Marjorie Hawkins, if a family's of Yahweh gave you a shoes to me, what can I say to the family? If a family's of Yahweh gave a shoes to me, what can I say to the family? I guess that sounds like a song, doesn't it? Future. And it shows this same sign. And days, may Yahweh greatly bless your understanding. And this was April 14th. Official House of Yahweh place, be in. This is a Twitter on our sent to our Twitter, official House of Yahweh placed be in prayers. I guess that means to place them in your prayers, and I'm asking you to do so because they need protection. Place them in your prayers with us in this camp in Tunisia, Shusha, refugee camp. I got it circled there for you. To see. That is beautiful. They'll soon be here. This is just the start of it. Get to that later. If you're over at Revelation 6, now I'm remembering what the great deacon David Knighton Hawkins just brought out, and the great deacon Israel Abel Hawkins just brought out. We're here, of course, to come to unity with Yahweh, a family. It's what Yahweh is forming, and this was His plan from the beginning. The Vatican is not it. The Vatican, actually, the word Vatican, it actually means the divining serpent. And when you know what that means, and then you start applying it to the scriptures you read, as we're going to be reading some here in this lesson, and then more tomorrow, Yahweh willing. Leaders of all, he's the Vatican, the divining serpent, is the leaders, as Revelations 13:1 shows. It's the leaders of the kings, or it says kings there. It actually means religions of the world, of the whole earth, in this generation. In Yahshua, if you remember, he says, by their fruits you will know them. Well, of course, if you don't have some understanding as to, you know, how to know them, you're not going to, I mean, it's like the preacher, you can tell that the preacher's in Abilene, or each time I see their commercials, I can tell what their audience is asking. one was trying to make excuses about repentance this week, and someone was asking him about repentance and conversion, and Exodus 3:19, and I know this was the questions that was coming after him, and of course he was attempting to answer them on the air, and his face was looking like rotten eggs all the time. he didn't know what to say, but he was trying to make excuse to keep from telling them, yes, you need to repent and you need to convert. But what he was saying was, well, you know, when one is born again, naturally one gets to thinking, maybe, you know, they could have lived a different life. And if you wasn't born again now, you people that are asking these silly questions about conversion and repentance, if you wasn't born again, you probably wouldn't ask those questions. So this proves you're born again. And that's all he had to say. No scriptures for it at all. And no excuses for Yahweh telling him, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. That was Yahshua telling him, if you don't repent, you'll all likewise perish. Because you're going to perish in your sins. Yahweh won't allow you into his kingdom. And he plainly says that throughout the Holy Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelations, and finally says in Revelations, the very last chapter, blessed are those who keep Yahweh's laws. They will have right to the tree of life. They're the only ones that will have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city to meet with Yahweh personally. We'll know them by their fruits. How would you do this? If you look to, I got you near it, chapter 6, turn over to chapter 10 of Revelations. Revelations chapter 10, and Yahweh tells you here, there's someone here that he's going to inspire, and this is what was brought out in the rainbow, and Yahweh's been bringing it out. It just takes a while, you know, to get it over to us Okies, what he's doing up there in the sky. But finally now we're getting some sermons together on it, and they're beautiful. Here in chapter 10 of Revelations and verse 7, he said, but in the last days, in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, a seventh messenger, that's the last one, the last days, the last generation. As Yahshua showed in Matthew 24, Daniel showed it in chapter 12, and it's a generation of the nuclear bomb that started in 1934, the increase in knowledge that started in 1934, and the last days witness that was born in 1934. How much proof do you need? And of course, Yahweh says here of this seventh messenger, when he will begin to sound, the great secrets of Yahweh would be finished. That is, he will finish revealing them. He's revealing secrets here. In Revelations, Revelations 10 and 7 and verse 11, he says, this person here, the seventh messenger, he says, and he said to me, you must prophesy. You must prophesy before all these peoples and nations and languages. Well, of course, that is what we're showing them. If you turn to Revelation 17, Revelation 17, and there came one of the seven, in fact, it's the seventh, Malachim, who had the seven bowls and talked with me, saying, come and I will show you. So he come and I'm going to show you what's going to take place here with the great whore that you're all following, that judges the waters, that's multitudes, nations, and languages, verse 15. This great whore is actually judging the earth. Yahweh and Yahshua is not judging these religions that make war. They're totally against Yahweh. They're serving the gods. But come and I will show you. The one that he shows in chapter 10, that's got to prophesy before many nations. That's what we're doing. That's why these people are sent us this. You know, we have literally hundreds of thousands over there in those countries that can't get here. And I'm telling the Pope again, you better let my people go. It's going to get really rough. And I know they're trying to keep them from it. But let's go back now to chapter 6 here. Chapter 6 of Revelations. And you'll see here the Lamb in verse 1. The Lamb is opening the seals. The Lamb, that's Yahshua Messiah, is opening the Lamb, opening the seals. Now, why would he be opening this for the one shown in chapter 10? If you look back over, with this in mind, Yahshua is opening the seals to explain or inspire the one in 10 to bring this message to multitudes, nations, and languages. Well, here in Zechariah now, he's fulfilling this prophecy, chapter 6 of Zechariah, page 719, Zechariah 6. And here you see it explained. Take the silver and gold and make crowns. And this is not speaking of the actual material of solid silver and solid gold like we make coins out of. It's speaking of colors that this man acquired. Colors that he has come to that shows his rank and his character, his name. Does that ring a bell? Rainbow. It's showing his colors that he has come to that gave him this rank in heaven that Yahweh set for you as a sign, as the great deacon just brought out. Take these colors, because he's qualified for this now, and now sits at the right hand of Yahweh, as Hebrews says, and because he's qualified, he lived without sin, and he was murdered for our sins. So take this silver and gold, these colors, and make crowns and set them on the head of Yahshua. He deserves these crowns, and we see it in the rainbows today. The Son of Yahweh, head of Yahshua, put it on his head. That's his crown. We are the stars in his crown, as the apostle said in these last days. Son of Yahweh, Yazadek, Strong's over. If you look at the reference there, you'll see it. Strong says this is Yahweh. The son of Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, the high priest. The high priest, shows in Hebrews 10:21, he's the high priest over the house of Yahweh. So here we see that he's now acquired this, so crown him at a certain time and speak to him and say to him, this is the message that the manna that can. Now listen to me. This is the manna, the message, the manna, the laws, the character, the overcoming of the world is all shown in this crown that he's giving you here. He's already gave Yahshua. And he says, speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh... Verse 12, speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says, behold the man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out and of his place and will build the house of Yahweh. Of course, Micah 4 says, in the last days I will establish my house. And then it's shown here that the one called the branch is the one that Yahweh inspires to do this. And then verse 13, remember the Lamb now opening the seals and showing them to the seventh messenger. That's in Revelation 10 and chapter 6. Then verse 13, yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory and will set and rule on his throne. He will be a priest upon the throne, and the council of peace will be between them both, between Yahshua. Now go back to Revelations. Revelations be between Yahshua and the one called the branch that has established the house of Yahweh in the place Yahweh chose to put his name in these last days in this generation. How much proof do you need? I was reading about a group of elite Bible scholars this week. I have the answers for you. I'm going to bring them out in these sermons. If you're listening or have someone listening to the house of Yahweh, which I'm sure you do, this will be brought out in the coming weeks, but starting today. Now, go back to Revelation 6 again, and this will make much more sense to you now with these other scriptures in your mind. You've got to get these scriptures in your mind, and the only way you can do it is study. You can't get too much study. The more of this you can read, the better off you're going to be. It'll build up, and you'll start thinking. Every time you read a verse, you'll start remembering the thing you read before or after or 100 years before that. The Lamb, now, 6 and verse 1. So we see here this prophecy of Yahshua now, who's crowned high priest over the house of Yahweh. Remember that? And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, one of the four, that's the quartet that you see back over in chapter 4 and verse 6, one of the four creatures saying, as with a voice like thunder, come and see. Well, you just saw that now in the news. You just saw it. We played it for you in the news. And what they're going to do and how they're fighting, they can't find peace. And President Obama saying, we need to do more. And before that, he said, we need a peaceful solution. A peaceful solution. Look at chapter 7 now. Chapter 7 of Revelations, and you'll see the people in this refugee camp. Yes, in this refugee camp that I just showed you the picture of here, with the tent of meeting and saying, this is the house of Yahweh right now, where we are, and holding in his hand the Book of Yisro and the Prophetic Word magazine. And chapter 7 showed us this group before they ever showed us themselves. Oh, it's marvelous. Well, of course, we're going to see them. We're going to see thousands fall, but we're going to see them come here too. Yahweh said, you watch, you're going to see them come over to you. They're going to come over to you, which means come over the seas to you. Now, here in chapter 7, we see this, and we're seeing in verse 2, this messenger, one of the two witnesses that he shows you in chapter 11, coming and from the east, descending from the east, having the seal of the Living Father, and he cried with a loud voice to the four messengers, that's the quartet, to whom it was given to hurt the earth. Yes, that's what it's for, is shown in chapter 6 there, in the great wars, and it's going to be fought over oil, the petrodollar, money, and lifestyle. Their lifestyle they're pushing to keep. The Catholic Church is pushing to keep it. And, of course, they know that if they don't come out on top, as Malachi Martin said they would, they're going to lose their lifestyle because of the people that's wanting to destroy that lifestyle that they're pushing into all the schools right now. There's some huge groups that are forming against sodomy, and they don't want this taught in their schools. But they've lost so far up until now because the Supreme Court is Catholic, of course. The majority is Catholic, and they're pushing it through. They're pushing through all kinds of lawlessness. They're against the teaching of morals, as the Pope Francis is bringing out. And Daniel said they're going to come against all kinds of holiness, every type of holiness. But this one is saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, that's the people, nations, multitudes, and tongues, nor the trees. Even the trees, the religions are included here, until we have sealed the servants of Yahweh in their forehead. Well, this is part of the servants of Yahweh that we're sealing here with this this group right here so vividly. Yahweh made that very plain, what is going on there. And then chapter 11 then, you see that this is coming forth from the two witnesses, the last verse to foretell events, that's verse 3 of chapter 11, to foretell events about the 1,260 days clothed about in darkness. These were, mark out that word, as it were. Those words don't belong there. These are the two witnesses, the two olive trees and the two lampstands that is shown in prophecy. Zechariah 4, 5, and 6 shows these. And this is them. This is what Yahweh is saying here. This is the two olive trees. This is the two lampstands that's shown by Yahweh's prophets. Here a little and there a little, as Yekiska said. Now, if you look on over to chapter 12 and remember all the things I've brought about this chapter here, you will see the first woman that brought forth Yahshua. You will see that he was murdered, that he was caught up to heaven, but he was crowned with those colors to be in authority, to hold that authority, to be high priest. High priest, that wasn't an easy position to acquire. Of course, Yahweh made it easy for them under Moshe because he just took it as bloodline or Levite. So that acquired it. And this is where that the Catholic Church, when they moved to Rome, if you were one of their group, which was Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, Herodians, no matter where you were born, if your parents belonged to one of those four religions, then you were automatically a Roman citizen. Roman means, get this in your head now, Rome. Rome. Vatican means, remember the divining serpent? Rome means the great warrior, or house of the great warrior. Well, of course, they know that they're the fourth beast that is teeth of iron and claws of brass and so forth. They know they fulfill that prophecy. Well, anyway, now here in chapter 12, we see one specially trained here. We see Yahshua first. He's called up to heaven. And then we see Satan going after the second woman here who brings forth a man. That's in verse 13 and 14. Brings forth the prophesied man, the man. Bring forth the man or the prophesied man who is trained to bring forth the message, this message. And he's trained to bring forth this message of the time and times and the dividing of times. Now, if you didn't know those prophecies, you wouldn't know what this man was here for and what he was trained to do. But he's got to eat this and prophesy before many nations, bringing forth this message to many nations. And first of all, the house of Yahweh, who Yahweh puts together here to do this work. To do the work. Now, in chapter 17, move on over. Chapter 17, you're in chapter 12 there. I'm just bringing this to your attention. And then chapter 17 here, we see, come and I will show you. Well, that's what he's here for. He's trained for that reason, to prophesy, that is to teach about the 3.5 years, as Revelation 11 shows you. These are the two that will teach it, teach this time that is coming and what's going to take place on the earth. And there was one of the seven Malachim and the temple, the house of Yahweh, that they measured. Who on earth has ever brought the history of the house of Yahweh and why it was destroyed and where they moved it to and all the artifacts? Who on earth has ever brought that except the house of Yahweh at Abilene? No one. And there came one of the seven Malachim. That's the group right there. One of them. One of the seven. Who had the seven bowls. That is, these are going to be these curses. These curses, like Moshe told Pharaoh, you're going to be cursed now. These are going to start coming on you. If you don't let my people go, they're going to start coming on you. Of course, this means repentance. It don't mean that you're born again and you're finally thinking that you should have changed your life a long time ago. They still haven't changed their life. They're born again. They're still bringing forth the breaking of Yahweh's laws. They haven't repented. They haven't converted. And the whole Baptist church, they can say they're born again. They're not born again. When you're born from heaven, you bring forth the laws of heaven with you. That's what it comes from. That's the impregnation that brings forth righteousness and turns hearts around from anger and hatred and so forth. Come and I will show you the sentence. This word sentence, this is not like a judge pronouncing a sentence in a court because someone broke a law, so they sent him to prison for 39 years. This is not that. This means that Yahweh is showing you, if you follow this path, what your end is going to be. He prophesies in advance what the end of this great horror is going to come to. Yahweh's not going to cause it. He's not saying here like King James wanted you to believe, or the popes wanted you to believe, that Yahweh is angry, he's jealous, so he's going to cause you trouble if you don't do this. But Mary can take care of all of that for you. The blessed Mary, who loves you and shows you a more desirable way into the kingdom. No, there is no other way into the kingdom. You can't find that in any of the books of the prophets or the apostles. But the sentence of this great whore is one of the things that the house of Yahweh has got to show in these last days before the nations, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And we're reaching them all. The sentence, I was just told that a huge organization had called the house of Yahweh. And I said, what on earth would someone that mighty in the world would be calling the house of Yahweh wanting to work with the house of Yahweh? Yeah. to help us fulfill our goal. I thought this was great. This is Yahweh's doing, of course. But great whore, this great whore, and notice he calls her a great whore, and how would you know what that was unless the prophets explained it? Here a little and there a little. And of course, if you look up whore or whoring like we can today very easily, before the concordance and Bible helps came out, you had to study and restudy and go back and reread the whole Bible again and mark some more words and put them together. It was a difficult thing. I was in that age, so I know how difficult it was. But I put things together by Yahweh's help, of course. With whom the kings of the earth, this is religions of the earth, have committed fornication. That word fornication there means idolatry. That's what the Bible helps will show you. If you look up the word, it means the worship of God. Well, I thought, yeah, what Yahweh was, I thought the Creator was a God. That's what the Christians think, that the Creator was a God. Egypt, the word Egypt. Now, keep these things in mind. I'm throwing them at you, but it'll help you to understand in your studies. The word Egypt. Of course, it was one of Noah's sons that established Egypt, Ham. He also showed his character and what his descendants and seed was going to be with what he did to his dad and his mother and his brothers. They were better, more honorable than he. If you remember, they walked backwards and covered up the nakedness of the father, which was the mother. These things are shown about Egypt. Well, Egypt is the name of a god. I'll give that to you tomorrow, maybe. The name of the god. Now, of course, and that god was worshipped. That god was worshipped until a certain time period when more Semitics moved into Egypt and took up living there. The sons of Abraham. Yes, the sons of Abraham. Remember? Heads of Jacob now. And they took up living there. And they bragged to Yahshua saying, "We're the seed of Abraham. We have never been in bondage. Our seed has never been in bondage. Our forefathers have never been in bondage," which means they were the ones that's creating the bondage. If you can get all of these in your head, you'll start understanding what Yahweh was doing here and why he kept saying, in the end, it's going to be different. But Egypt itself is the name of a god. When the sons of Abraham came in, they became universal. That's where you get the word Catholic. It means universal, meaning they worship all gods. And that's what you saw when Moshe then was sent into Egypt after 450 years to get to show Yahweh's power over the gods, over all the gods. Because Abraham's children, when they were in Egypt, they started worshiping all gods. They never turned to Yahweh. They never repented. They never converted. They were born again. They had silver and gold. They had a pocket full of money. And of course, it's bringing them nothing but shame and bondage, and kept their lives tied up to where they couldn't even study to know why they were there in that country, why Yahweh took those seed there. They didn't even have that much ability. After all those years, burdened down, which as Yahshua said, with the deceitfulness of riches. And Yahweh took them out of that, promising them through Moshe a land of flowing with milk and honey, where they could have their own land without restriction of a government that was holding them back on one side, and them having their own government where they could do whatever they pleased to whomsoever they wanted to do it. Yes, they were suffering opposition in Egypt, much opposition, but they were never in bondage, speaking of slaves. They were never slaves as we feature slaves. I brought that out about 40 years ago, by the way, if you read the ancient sermons or hear them. But they, Yahshua says, burden of sin. If he who commits sin is in bondage to sin. And that's what Yahweh brought them out and offered them as he's bringing you to his house right now, an offering to make you free. Free from what? making money in the world, of course. What a shame. Well, that's okay, but you know, if you just figure what they're doing, they're spending all their time after this money. And they're making money, going in debt, having to get more money to pay for the debts. It's like a drug, a drug man that's hooked on drugs. When I first came to Abilene 40 years ago or so, I met a bunch of people who were hooked on drugs, and you could look at their arm, and they showed us this in the academy. You could look at their arm and tell how much money they were spending on drugs per day. And some of them, they showed us, this one is a $250 a day drug habit, just from looking at his arms. This one is a $750 a day. And I said, where do they get their money? And they said, burglaries, robberies, thefts, you know, they'll do anything to get money. They break in people's houses, they break in businesses, they steal, they rob, to try to support their drug habit. And it's all there in their arm, showing right there how many shots they have and what it is they have. It's all put there in the needle, in the blood. Now, the reason I tell you that is because I want to show you in prophecy what is going on here and what was going on in Egypt with these people and the diseases in Egypt that they were having. Yahweh said, I'll rid you of all of these diseases. Well, how was he going to do it? He gave them laws to follow. They weren't interested in the laws. They kept on doing the same thing and selling drugs. Selling and supporting drugs. Well, we're in verse 2. Fornication, this is God worship. This is God worship that we see in the third chapter of Genesis. But the sentence of this great whore, of course, is burning. We'll get to that tomorrow morning. I wanted to get much further into this today, but we'll get a little more of it tomorrow. And the history of the Catholic Church, the divining serpent, the great agency that all real, truly Bible scholars who really spend the time with this, they know that there was an agency behind this. And this is great that they know that much. They don't understand it. They don't know who the agent was. They don't know who the agency was. They don't know who Satan was, the serpent, this serpent, who is called a crocodile and a lot of other things in the Holy Scriptures. They don't know who she was. They don't even know she is a she. Even though the Hebrew language, before they changed it, that it referred to them not as he it's referred to them as he and she instead of it and they, like it does today. The services start, I think, here at 9 o'clock. 9:15. Okay, 9:15. Try to be here on time in the morning and get this first information, because it's going to tie in with the rest of the prophecies of tomorrow. We have a special treat this feast. When I went to Israel in 1982, they didn't have meat. They didn't have meat in Israel, and I stayed with Montgomery's. He was a teacher in Cisco Junior College. That's where I met him. He has always wanted me to come there and take his place in teaching agriculture. And then he got me one teaching cooking. And I said he wanted me to move to Israel with him because he wanted to sell out here and move to Israel. But he was a great teacher of agriculture. And we worked together in farming and ranching. And he sold out. And then he moved to Israel, and he bought into a moshav. And So in 82, when I went to Israel to do my measuring of the temple and its confines, we stayed with Montgomery's. They were set up there and in the dairy business and doing well, him and his wife. And after a few days, he asked me how I was doing. I said, I feel like the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and they had no meat to eat. he said, well, we're going to Jerusalem tomorrow, and I'm going to buy you something that'll save your life. Well, he took me to Jerusalem, and he bought me a falafel. It doesn't have meat, but once you take a bite of it, it satisfies your craving for meat. You don't crave after that. And then that's what I ate the rest of the time. I stayed 2 or 3 weeks there trying to figure out a bunch of stuff on that Temple Mount and never did it get it solved and had to go back 4 or 5 times more before we finally built this temple model that we have here. But anyway, the falafel, I've been wanting to get it to where it tastes like the falafels that I ate in Israel that time, and we finally got it down to pretty much perfection. So that's one of the treats. One of the treats. Another one's going to be the peaceful scene down here. If you'll take it all in, you'll see a bunch of instruments that we used before the tractors and familiar with everything. You'll see one of the things that's named in the scripture is the sickle. And, of course, that's a harvest that you harvest wheat with. And to understand that, you'd have to look at that and see how this crooked handle thing with a blade, a curved blade on it, would actually cut wheat, but it does. That's what the scripture says, to get ready to put the sickle to the grain. And when we cut some wheat the other day, and I showed was showing the men how to, you could roll it in your hands. That's what the disciples did. They'd roll it in their hands and blow the husk off, you know, and then eat it. And it tastes really great when it's that way. It's got the full flavor. It's very sweet, has a lot of sugar in it. Yeah, you can eat it, believe me. It tastes really great. But anyway, they would cut this, and Ruth and Boaz, in their days, Esther and Boaz, they would cut this wheat and then they'd bring it on donkey's backs to the threshing floor. And there they had logs or rocks, and they'd pick up a bundle of this and they'd start beating it on these rocks or logs, and that would thrash the grains loose from the stalk. And it would fall to the floor. And then they'd pick a windy day and they'd take shovels. These were wooden shovels, and I do believe we have one down there in that tent, the grain tent. It's a wooden shovel, and I said, this is what they used to use in tossing the wheat up in the air. They'd take a windy day after they beat the grains loose from the stalk. They'd take this windy day and they'd toss that wheat up in the air in the barn where Boaz and Esther worked, and the wind would carry the husk away. That's how they cleaned it. It cost $20? $20 a bushel? $20 a bushel to take it to do this cleaning by machinery now. But they did it with a shovel and the wind, and then the way they ground it was they rolled a rock over it. That's what I did. I went through this, all of this. If you remember the SERP mill that my dad had, that he would go and harvest the sugar cane, and we would cut this sugar cane and we'd lay it on the floor, and I would drive the mule that pulled the big, there was a rock, a round rock like this, and it had a hole in the middle, and a shaft run through it that went out to the mule, and I'd drive the mule around and around this press, and they'd throw this the sugar cane in front of the rock. It squeezed the juice out, which run down into a trough where we cooked it and made black strout molasses. And you go to the store and get them. We made them. All done by hand. Well, anyway, we got all of that waiting for you down there. It's going to be open this evening, I think. I don't know what time, but somewhere between 5 and 5:30, I think. They had several different times, but that's the women. Tomorrow is the men. They've also got some watermelon that we growed somewhere. I don't know. Some of them growed kind of strange, like they had some tags that said Jerry's Fresh Fruits or something on it. I don't know how them things grew on there. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But we got some pumpkins down there that we growed. We got corn down there, corn stalks with the corn on them. We grew that. We transplanted it so you could see it here, but to create the scenery. But it's a beautiful sight, and you need to see it and enjoy it while you're here. And picture yourself going back to that kind of life, maybe, and maybe what we'll do. But it's easy to do. I mean, it doesn't take all that much time, and it's an enjoyable thing to raise something and to be able to pull it out of the garden and eat it. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!